Let's turn to Psalm 6. Learning to pray like David, learning how to pray biblically, using David this morning as our role model. God is a person. In fact, he is Hashem, the name, the person, the supreme person. Because he is a person with mind, with emotion, with will, and because we are persons, we can relate to God as we relate to human beings. The same principles of relationship that we employ with other human beings apply to our relationship with this great person, God. David was one of the greatest human beings who ever lived. He was a man after God's heart. He was a descendant of Abraham, Israel, and Judah. He was a great warrior, builder, and king. He was the first of his dynasty, a dynasty which was chosen by God to bring forth the Messiah, the ultimate king of Israel and the nations of the world. David was a prophet, and he was a poet, and he was a musician, and he prayed a lot about everything. He wrote down many of his prayers, and he put them to music, creating the Book of Psalms. Most of the Book of Psalms, which has been the prayer book of the Jewish people and the church for 3,000 years, was written by David. We can learn some lessons about prayer from David, one of the greatest men of God who ever lived. What is prayer? Prayer is simply talking to God. It's communicating your thoughts and feelings to your Maker. It can include asking God for something. It can express appreciation to God for who he is, what he has done, what he's doing now, what he will do in the future. Since we are persons, and since God is a person, prayer, talking to God, can be very real. Like the way you would talk to a person you wanted something from. It could be very real. David prayed like that. David was involved in the great events of his day, politics and intrigues and betrayals and rebellions and wars. There were many times when this man felt endangered, overwhelmed, distressed, depressed, sad, upset. Maybe you can relate to some of those things. In response to these difficult situations, David talked to God, and he asked God for help. He appeals for help on the basis of four things. Help me because of who you are. Help me because of who I am. Help me because of our mutual interests. Help me because of our mutual enemies. Help me because of who you are. Help me because of who I am. Help me because of our mutual interests. Help me because of our mutual enemies. If we understand these four things upon which David bases his prayers, we can learn how to pray better, to pray more biblically, to pray more like David. And that's a very good thing to be able to do, to learn how to pray well. Let's start with Psalm 6, which is the shorter song, then move on to the longer song, Psalm 40. Psalm 6, for the director of music, with stringed instruments, according to Sheminit. Not sure what that is. A psalm, which means a song of David. Here's the situation. David is very upset. He is surrounded by enemies who want to kill him. He wants God's help so that that doesn't happen. Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. In other words, Lord, don't be too hard on me. I can take a little correction from you, a little rebuke, but not too much. Who is God? God's like a just judge. He's like a good father who disciplines his children. David appeals to God to help him on the basis of who God is, a good judge, a good father. David understands he might deserve some discipline, some rebuke, but he appeals to God as to a just judge or a good father to not discipline him or rebuke him too much by allowing his enemies to be victorious. Lord, don't rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. Next, David appeals for help on the basis of who God is. God is merciful. He is sympathetic. And because of who David is, he is a poor, suffering, pathetic creature. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in deep anguish. David knows that God is gracious and merciful, that he doesn't always treat his creatures the way they deserve to be treated. He often graciously helps those who are suffering, even though they may not deserve it. David wants some of that grace and mercy applied to him in his situation now. Have mercy on me, Lord. David is suffering. He's faint. He's weak. He's in deep agony and anguish. He feels like he can't last much longer. He needs divine intervention right away. And so he asks, "How long, Lord? How long?" Asking God to rescue him out of this situation soon. Next, David appeals to God for help because of who God is. God is full of love. "Turn, Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love." David appeals to an aspect of God's nature, love. It is God's nature to love his creatures, which includes helping his creatures, taking care of them, providing for them, meeting their needs. If a creature needs help in a dangerous situation, then the love of the Creator impels him to help. And David appeals to the love of God, God's attribute of love. Save me because of your love. Next, David appeals to God for help because of their mutual interests. "Among the dead, no one proclaims your name. Who praises you from the grave, from Sheol? It is the duty of the creature to acknowledge and praise the greatness of the Creator. That is right, that is good, that honors the Creator, and it's good for the creature." But David will not be able to do that if he is dead and in Sheol. Sheol is a real place. And those who are in it are characterized as being in a state of quietness. There's a lack of activity in Sheol, like actively praising God. So if God wants David to continue worshiping him, proclaiming God's name, he will need to keep David alive and prevent him from being defeated by his enemies and going to Sheol. David is appealing to God on the basis of shared interests. Lord, if you want me to be your worshiper, keep me alive. David appeals to God for help because of who he is. Again, he is a suffering creature, and because of who God is, someone who is sympathetic to the suffering of his creatures. And because David and God share the same enemies. I'm worn out from my groaning. All night long, I flood my bed with weeping. That's a lot of tears. I drench my couch with tears. I am really crying a lot. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes. David is suffering intensely because of his enemies who are threatening to end his life. But David's enemies are also God's enemies. And so it only makes sense for God to defeat their mutual enemies who are making David suffer so much. David is confident that these prayers, these requests, have influenced the Creator, and that the Lord will respond and end the threat caused by David's evil enemies. Away from me, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. David is confident that his prayers have been heard and accepted by God. He's confident that his enemies will be defeated. They will retreat and experience a lot of shame and suffering. All my enemies will be overwhelmed with shame and anguish. They will turn back and suddenly be put to shame. This is how David prayed. Let's turn to Psalm 40, which is similar, but longer. And we will see the same principles of how to pray here. Remember, God is a person, not just an idea, not just a concept, not just an impersonal force. He's a person with mind, emotion, and will. And David talks to God as he talks to a person, appeals to him on the basis of four things. Again, help me because of who you are. Help me because of who I am. Help me because of our mutual enemies. Help me because of our mutual interests. For the choir director of David, a psalm, which means a song. The situation is that, again, David is in extreme danger. Again, he is asking the Lord for help. He begins his song with this: I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. Waiting for the Lord means getting close to God. It means asking the Lord to do something, praying, making a request, and then waiting for a response from God. That's what waiting on God means. David did that. He cried to the Lord. He prayed for help with passion, crying. He then waited for a divine response. He was confident that God would respond to his request in a positive way and save him. He turned to me and heard my cry. Although the tense of the verb here is in the past, indicating this has already happened, I think David is using the past tense because he is so sure, so confident, that God will hear his prayer and will help him and rescue him out of this dangerous situation. Good praying involves bringing your request or requests to the Lord and then waiting patiently for the Lord to respond. Sometimes we are just too impatient. And God's response might be yes. On the other hand, God's response might be no. Or God's response might be, talk to me later about this. Or it might be, I will answer your request, but in my time and in my way. I waited patiently for the Lord. Again, in this specific case, David is confident that God will hear his prayer and will rescue him. And so, although the tense of the verbs in the following passages in the past indicating completed action, I think David is using the past tense again because he is sure that God will rescue him. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. In a poetic way, David is telling us that his situation is very desperate. He's in a life-threatening situation. He was like a man in deep mud who was in danger of being sucked under and drowning in the mud. Or he was like a man maybe stuck in mud, which made him an easy target of his enemies. David was sure, however, that the Lord would save him out of that dangerous situation. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. The Lord rescuing him would be like someone taking a man about to sink under the mud and taking him out of that mud and placing him on a solid rock, knowing that he would be saved from an imminent death and be placed into a state of safety and stability made David very happy. So happy that he was determined to compose a song of celebration in which he would say nice things about the God who rescued him. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Why does David mention this? Because again, the Lord wants his creatures to praise him and worship him. That is the duty of the creature. It's good for the creature, and it gives honor to the Creator. So if the Lord saves him, David will remain alive, and he will remain able to praise and worship the Lord. And that should make the Lord want to save his worshiper, David. So David is appealing to God on the basis of who God is, a God who should be honored, worshiped, and praised by his creatures. And when the Lord does save David from his enemies, David knows that that will impact many others and enhance their faith in God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Why does David mention this? Because the Lord wants human beings to trust in him, to be loyal to him. And so if the Lord saves David from death, David's life will be spared, which is good for David, and the Lord's agenda will be furthered. David is appealing to the Lord based on their mutual interests. David understood that the human being who remains loyal to the Creator and does not, in pride and arrogance, insult the Creator by worshiping false gods, will be happy and advantaged. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Blessed, happy, advantaged is the one who trusts in the Lord. And David is just such a man. How can the Lord, who is faithful and true, not be faithful and true to such a man like David, who trusts in the Lord? How can he not rescue him and not make him happy? David appeals to God on the basis of who he is, a man who trusts in the Lord, who is loyal to the Lord, and on the basis of who God is, faithful and true. Why should God save David's life? Because, again, David is a man who praises the Lord for who he is and the many marvelous things he has done, is doing, and will do. And God seeks those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you plan for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. I find this beautiful. I think God found this beautiful too. And if God wants David to keep praising him in this beautiful way, with these beautiful expressions, acknowledging the greatness of God, the Lord will want to keep David alive. David appeals to the Lord to save him because, unlike many who have a shallow understanding of God and really don't worship him from their hearts, David really knows God. David really serves the Lord. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, "Here I am. I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your Torah, your teaching is within my heart." David understood that true religion is not found in mere external ceremonies and rituals, even if they're divinely ordained, like the various sacrifices he mentions here, the burnt offerings and the other offerings. True religion is found in a man whose ears have been opened by God so that he is able to understand what the Creator is really saying to us. A man who realizes that his priority in life is not to do what he wants, but what God wants. A man who treasures the Torah, the divinely inspired teaching, in his heart, at the core of who he is. The scroll, which I believe is referring to the Torah, the five books of Moses, it writes about such men. It writes about an Abraham, a Moses, a Joshua, other righteous men and women. It describes men who would come in the future, even good kings who would come, like David, and ultimately, like the Messiah. David knew he was such a man who knows God, a man who really serves God, a man who really lives according to the will of God and the word of God. And he appeals to God to save him on that basis because of who he is. Why should the Lord help David? Because unlike so many others, David is not ashamed of telling others about the Lord, even in a very public way. "I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly." This is a man who is willing to speak publicly about his God. If you were God, wouldn't you want to keep a man around who wasn't embarrassed to tell others about who you are? A God who is able to intervene and help and save, a God who is righteous, faithful, and loving? If you were God, wouldn't you want to keep David alive so that he could unashamedly, unembarrassedly continue telling large groups about you when the people of Israel gathered together in the great assembly? If I was God, I want to keep that man alive. Next, David appeals to God to help him because of who he is and who God is. Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me, for troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me, and I can't see. My sins are more than the hairs of my head, or maybe my troubles are more than the hairs of my head. My heart fails within me. David is in trouble. He is in lots of trouble. He has many serious problems, too many to count, more than the individual hairs on his head. He has so many problems, he's discouraged, he's depressed, he's on the verge of giving up. His heart is failing. He is enemies from without. He has sins dragging him down from within. He has so many problems, they are like a dark cloud surrounding him so that he can't see. And he's in danger of being attacked or falling and not rising again. He lets the Lord know that he is a sad, desperate, pathetic creature. That's who David is. But he also knows who God is, that God is merciful, loving, faithful. And he appeals to God on the basis of those great attributes to rescue him. God, you are so merciful, so be merciful to me, this pathetic creature, by saving me. God, you are loving, so let me experience the beneficial impact of your love by rescuing me. God, you are faithful, so be faithful to me, your faithful servant, by delivering me from my enemies without and my sins from within. And he asked the Lord to do it soon. His situation is desperate. He needs an immediate response. Be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. David asked the Lord to allow his enemies, who are also God's enemies, to be defeated and disgraced and brought into a state of confusion so that they are unable to hurt him further. May all who want to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, kind of gloating, be appalled at their own shame. In contrast to praying for the defeat and the shame of their mutual enemies, David asked the Lord to bring victory, happiness, and joy to the friends and allies of God, to those who seek the Lord and want God to intervene on behalf of the righteous, which includes David, of course. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, the Lord is great. And they will say the Lord is great because they have experienced his great saving help and are victorious, which is what David is asking the Lord for. David's final appeal for help is based on who David is and who the Lord is. But as for me, I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. David is pathetic. God is gracious and merciful, sympathetic to the suffering of his creatures. You are my help and my deliverer. You are my God. Do not delay. David's weak. He's in trouble. And because the Lord is David's God, and because the Lord is full of power, and the ability to help, and since it's the obligation of the deity to help one of his worshipers, the Lord should rescue him soon, right away. That ends Psalm 40. David was a man who knew how to pray. He prayed a lot. He wrote the prayer book of Israel and the church. His prayers were answered. He faced many dangers, and the Lord saved him out of them all. He wound up having one of the most successful lives any human being has ever lived. We can learn how to pray from David. If we want to pray like David, we should imitate David. David had a real relationship with the living God. We must too. We must develop a relationship with the living God by knowing the three-in-one God of Israel, God the Father, Messiah, Yeshua the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We must know this three-in-one God and then transfer our loyalties to this three-in-one God. Trust Him, be confident in Him, have faith in Him, be loyal to Him. David was not a perfect man, but he was a righteous man. He was committed to doing what is right. But he was a man who really knew God, who really served God, who lived according to the will of God and the word of God, who prayed to God, who praised God, who told others about God. We should too. When he needed help, he appealed to God on the basis of four things. Help me because of who you are. Help me because of who I am. Help me because of our mutual interests. Help me because of our mutual enemies. Now keep in mind that these are appeals from a faithful servant. That's very different from the insincere bargaining of someone who has refused to serve God and only when he is in trouble tries something like this. God, I'm in trouble. Save me and I'll serve you. Which implies that if you don't save me, I will continue not to serve you. That's a bad kind of bargaining. That's very different from the way David appealed. Or a man who prays, God, if you bless me, only then will I serve you. No, David was already committed to serve the Lord no matter if God rescued him or not. Big difference between insincere bargaining and appealing to God from a faithful servant. So maybe we can start trying to pray a little bit more, appealing to God on the basis of these four same things. I tried to think of some examples. Help me because of who you are. How about this? Our Father who art in heaven. God, you're my heavenly Father. And since you're a father, a good father, a good father meets the needs of his children. So please give me the bread I need today. Please meet my spiritual needs. Forgive my sins. Don't allow me to be tempted and fail today. Appealing to God because of who he is. Appealing to God because of who I am. Lord, I'm your child. I'm your servant. I have been made righteous because of Messiah. I'm not perfect, but I am righteous. So, Lord, on that basis, please help me. A prayer based on mutual interest. Heavenly Father, we have something in common. We share Messiah. Yeshua is your son, but he's my Lord and Savior. He's connected to you. And he's connected to me because of this connection we share and this mutual interest in Messiah, help me. Help me because of our mutual enemies. Say you're a Christian living in Israel or Syria or Iraq or a Messianic Jew living in Israel, and you're endangered by radical Islam. How about praying something like this? Lord, the followers of radical Islam are endangering me, and they're harming and killing my brothers and sisters throughout the Middle East. They don't know you. They don't serve you. They are wicked. Please convert them or allow them to be defeated. I'm appealing to you on the basis of our mutual enemies. And remember, when you are asking the sovereign Lord for something, you need to wait patiently on the Lord, knowing that he has the right to say yes, he has the right to say no, he has the right to say, talk to me about it later, he has the right to say, okay, but I'll answer it in my time and in my way. Learning to pray like David. Let's continue our tefillot, our prayers.